Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for having me. And it's really special for me to be here. I haven't been here, I think, for a number of years. So I'm really grateful that Mario said that the order is somewhat dear macar this morning, because that puts me at ease, that everything is not so articulated. I just want to remind you, you know, we are newcomers to this congregation this morning, and many of the songs that you sang have stunning words. And I think, you know, one gets so used to it. But I would like to encourage you to enter into conversation with God as you sing those words, and let it draw you into conversation and into dialogue with God. But that's just a reminder for the next time. You might wonder, you know, how come I chose this particular passage this morning for reading, for the sermon? Not many of you might know, but some of you do, that there's a so-called revised common lectionary all over the world that churches all over the world use. There's several scriptures, but they focused around a certain theme or a focus, and it takes one through in a rhythm through the cycle of the year, of the biblical year, starting often with Christmas, Advent, which we've had, then Christmas, and now some churches still have this as a season of Christmas, where we still remind ourselves of what happened, and then we move into so-called ordinary time or kingdom time, and then later on we move into Easter time, the preparation of the suffering, the passion of Christ. And then after that, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's a rhythm that the church follows worldwide. So the challenge, how it came about, is that people, actually researchers, determined that sometimes pastors or ministers would, in their entire professional career, they don't realize it, and their congregations don't realize it, but they actually focus on about 55 to 65 themes or scripture texts throughout their entire career. So, and I would do too, because I have certain passions, I have certain attractions, and I would constantly go there if I have the choice. So to use a scripture from the so-called lectionary forces the minister or the preacher to really wrestle with the text, let it do something to him or her life, and then they can bring it to their congregation. And thereby, in a cycle of about 3 years, you focus on the entire scripture. Not necessarily all passages, because for every week there is a collection of scriptures and you choose one. So I chose one this morning from the Psalms, and I was telling my wife, you know, I sometimes wonder, why did I choose this? Because it's really not easy. But I think it's the challenge to trust the Holy Spirit that He does something in you and with you, and it's often not completed yet, but you bring it to the congregation and actually inspire them and invite them to look at that text themselves and wrestle with it themselves as well. So, and unfortunately, I have a long introduction. I contacted Moira, and she said that the person doing the PowerPoint is not available. And then this morning, there was someone, but the reference that we use is not the same that I will be reading from. So I think if we don't use it, it'll be a challenge for you, because you'll have to listen carefully. It's not visually up there, because the key words that I'm using is not in the translation that he can give me. Okay, so that just has a little bit of a background. And then maybe just one thing that I need to say about the Psalms. I think why it's so difficult to read from the Psalms is that we must remember that the kind of literature is that it is poetry. It's picture language mostly. And you can't work with picture language as if it is literal. So it's a picture, and those pictures are meant to create something of a heart feeling response, and then for you to respond on what is happening with you. And then also, I was thinking in my preparation that with the Psalms, this Psalm, particular one that we'll be looking at, is from David. He wrote in response to something that happened between him and God. So the writing came after something that has already happened between him and God. Now he writes the Psalm, and you can't actually teach a Psalm. You can share it, but it's actually meant to have its own effect on you. I can open it up a little bit and invite you into it and invite you to look at certain words and turn that a little bit around. But eventually, with, I think, reading a psalm is, you can't teach on somebody else's meditation with God. But you have to inspire them to have their own. So that's what I hope will happen. So now, as I said, you know, poetry, psalms are picture language mostly. And I want to change gears, and you'll see where I get to. Like many of you, let me see by a show of hands, whom of you have children living overseas? Okay, quite a number. We have more than one living overseas, but we have a daughter and a husband living in Bermuda. Bermuda is not an island down there. It's not one of those tropical islands. It's an island somewhere between the south of Portugal and across to America. So it's the only island really there. So Bermuda is there. And 2-3 years ago, they imported us for a visit. So before we went, we had pictures. We could look things up on YouTube and on the internet and browse through it like you would through a traveling brochure. You had all the pictures and your imagination. That was before we went. But having been there, we now know. We have an experience. We know what it looks like, or somehow you can recall what it feels like when you get off the aeroplane. The air is different, the smells are different, the sounds are different. It's as if the density of the air is different. You know what it's like to walk on those so famous pink beaches and see the very beautiful parrotfish, which are protected. We've eaten their famous fish sandwiches. So we're going again later on this year. Fortunately, not with our own money. But now we have an experience. You have the pictures. You have your own imagination and some recollection of what has been there. And are you going again and actually strengthen your experience? So in the Psalm 36, David gives us a certain number of pictures of God. And that's what I would like us to spend some time with. To save some time, the Psalm has three parts. The front part, the front and the back part, deals with sort of evil and the way people go about living their lives without God. But the middle part, that's what we're going to focus on this morning, focuses on the character of God. And the core word there is the Hebrew word chesed. I don't know whom of you have ever heard the word chesed. Chesed, according to Hebrew scholars, is probably the richest word in the entire Hebrew language. It is multi-layered. And some scholars say it may be the most, the richest, most faceted word of all languages, of any language. And one sees that if you look at the different translations, the different, this word chesed in Hebrew, how many different words it is translated. So in some sense we lose that because we only have little peeps at this word and peeks at this word. But David chooses this word because he sensed something of the essence of God, not just a picture of God. In his meditation, he sensed something of the essence of God. But all he can do is give us pictures so that we can somehow share something of his experience. And I think he wants us to have something of that ourselves. And unfortunately for that, you can't only have a good preacher. I wish I was that good. But we actually need the Holy Spirit to give us revelation of the inside of God that this word chesed has. Chesed, it's a word used more than 250 times in the Old Testament. It's more than 127 times only in the Psalms. And it is translated with different words like mercy and righteousness and goodness, the steadfastness of God's love. And the word that I'm going to focus on this morning is the loving kindness. God's loving kindness. Now, chesed is not something that God does. It's not an attribute of God. It is who God is in his essence. So if we read this morning the loving kindness of God, then it is who he really is. Okay, so before we read the psalm, let us just pray. God, thank you that you have always chosen to show yourself, to make yourself known. You've never been in secret and in hiding, but you came even in Christmas. You came to us. You showed us who you are and what you like. Thank you that you are with us through your Holy Spirit, who lives among us and dwells within us, your breath. And we need your Spirit to give us revelation this morning of something of you in this text. So we ask that you will help us and that you will stir each one of us in a specific way to respond to something of your loving kindness to us. We ask this, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm reading Psalm 36, those who want to follow, but your translation may be different. I don't know what you have in the pews. I'm only going to read verse 5 to 10. Your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your judgments are like the great deep. You save humans and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you and your salvation to the upright of heart. Just going to read those verses. Okay, so just a reminder again, this is picture language. And when we read this text, we'll see repetitions, particularly in literature, is very, very specific. They're there with a reason. So you see a repetition at least three times of the word and this concept of loving kindness. Your loving kindness, O Lord, your loving kindness, O God, continue your loving kindness, sort of gives us the structure of this little piece that we're looking at. So what is the pictures that it gives us? What is this loving kindness like? He says it is like, remember now, we read the passage there, your faithfulness, your righteousness, your judgments, those are all aspects of this one word, chesed. So we could actually put that word in there all the time. So, and then I just summarize it with a word that I choose this morning, your loving kindness. So it's just one of the words that I respond to most, because if you look at, if you have a Bible app and you look at the different translations of just this word in the different translations, you'll just see how many words scholars and translators use to translate this one concept. So the loving kindness, the pictures that it gives us is like the mountains and the sky and the clouds and the mystery of the sea. So this is kind of the pictures that he gives us. And it's beyond any understanding that we have. Actually, he says we can't grasp it. How can you grasp mighty mountains, the sky, clouds, the mystery of the depths of the sea? So it's the best pictures that David can give us of something that he encountered with God is something that's not man-made. So at least these big things that we in Wellington are actually privileged to see. We've just had family from the north, and where they come from, it's flat. So they love the mountains. We get used to it. But if you look at the mountains, remind yourself, that's a picture of the steadfastness and the loving kindness of God. And we look at the cloud and the skies and the clouds, and we must remind ourselves, these are all reminders of how great God's loving kindness is towards us. It's immovable. It's always there. It's always given. All we miss in Wellington is the sea. So who may experience this? Actually, only one word, one line. Two lines. But actually it says all people. All people may experience this, the loving kindness of God. It says there, you save humans and animals alike, O Lord. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. All people. Struck me that this little line, you save humans and animals alike. I don't want to sort of go into that, but I think for us, what does it say about God that he saves humans and animals alike? We don't often think of God like that. So it just reminded me that it's one of the, I think one of the handicaps, it's one of the challenges of the church through the centuries, through history, that the church wants to decide who's in and out, who's right and wrong, who's included and who's not included. Well, first of all, in our history in South Africa, all colors, all groups, everyone is included in God's all, even red skin and yellow skin people, educated people, uneducated people, handicapped people, men and women. If you look at the history of women in the church, I mean, we're still struggling to get that right. So God surprises us. All are included in his loving kindness. And maybe it's something for us to go home with and think, God, you say all people are included in your loving kindness. All people may take refuge under the shadow of your wings. You say all. Who do I exclude? Who do I easily say they're not included? I know they're not included. The church says they're not included. And then sometimes, like with women, over years, we change our views. Even with our history of colors in this ethnic groups in South Africa, we've changed our perspectives. So sometimes we may hold to certain things and say, I know, this is what God says, and the church will proclaim it. So ask God, who does he include that you don't easily include? So experiencing God's loving kindness, what is it like? He gives us other pictures here. He says, first of all, experiencing God's loving kindness is like taking refuge under the shelter of its wings. Now, in a desert country and in the heat of Wellington that we all sort of preparing ourselves for, shadow and shelter is like a refuge. It's a lifeline. So in a desert country, I think this author, David, knew what it was like to take refuge in the shadow of God's wings. To feast on the abundance of a house, of your house, the your is repeated all the time. So it's the experience of God's loving kindness. Is it for you to take like taking refuge, like feasting on the abundance of someone's house, to drink from the rivers of delight? For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see the light. It asks engagement from you, these pictures. I can also, like David, just hold the picture, but what you do with it, I can't do for you. So, is this your participation with the loving kindness, your experience of the loving kindness of God, like taking refuge, like feasting on the abundance of a house, of someone's house? On Christmas Day, Marius and Demeline invited me and my wife to Christmas dinner. When I prepared it, I thought, man, this is a perfect picture for me. When we walked in there, the aircon was on. You remember Christmas Day, it was exceptionally hot. Our roses were just killed in that time. So aircon was on, the table was beautiful. There was exquisite crockery and cutlery and glasses and serviettes and flowers and candles. There were other people there. There were scrumptious cold dishes of all sorts. There was wonderful cold drinks, and there was wine, red wine and white wine, and not so many sukavaina. Really a river of delight and an abundance of someone's house. And then there were desserts. It was like a fountain of life. And I thought, man, this is a picture of God's loving kindness. All these pictures are there. I drink and I eat and I feast and I take refuge. But these are my pictures. What is your picture of the loving kindness, the abundance, the river of delight that you are invited to take part of, and that God actually pours out on you all the time? And I think that's a challenge for us of this little psalm, this little middle part at least, is we're confronted with all of this, but how? How do I participate? How do I partake of it? Now, I think it is for most of us probably, like for me, momentarily. There are moments that are open that you just realize, wow, this is the love of God. Isn't it wonderful? God is just holding me in the course of my everyday life. Not necessarily only behind a closed door when you are in meditation. Your meditation in everyday life. Seeing the mountains, seeing the clouds, the sky. So I think this psalm challenges us to realize how limited our capacity for God's loving kindness really is. How small it is. That's why this psalm then has a third repetition of your loving kindness. He says it's a prayer. It's actually more a prayer. It's a plea. He says, oh, continue your loving kindness. continue what is already there. It's already continuous. God has never stopped. Why do I need to pray? Why does David pray? Continue that. Because our capacity for it is so small. It's so limited. It's like a continuous Christmas dinner. I don't have capacity for it, really. So, I think for us to admit to God that we struggle to entrust ourselves to Him, to eat on Him and to drink from Him all the time, unless He helps us. Unless He helps us. I think, this is not something I plan to say, but a great shift for me came in my Christian walk when I realized it really doesn't depend on me. I cannot make this happen for myself. I need God. I need His loving kindness. I need His grace, His goodness, His mercy. One translation of the word chesed is His steadfast love. I need His steadfast love to live. Sometimes our Christian teaching and discipleship places a heavy emphasis on our responsibility. And eventually, it's all we carry is our responsibility. And we miss the greatness, the goodness, the immovable loving kindness of God for us. So maybe this morning, for you to be open to realize one thing, God, my capacity for you is so small. Continue your loving kindness to me that I can delight in it more, feast on it more, experience it as refuge, as abundance, which it is. But I can't do this unless you help me. So maybe to just give you some time to meditate a little bit on this, I'm going to play a song. Just be open for whatever word or line or picture from the song speaks to you. And then at the end, I'm not going to announce that or say that. I'd like you to pray something of the loving kindness. Maybe just this line, continue your loving kindness for one person behind you, next to you. And then also for one other person that is not here. One person in your family, one person in your friendship, one person who needs that, that you want to pray this almost as a blessing for. God, continue your loving kindness to so and so. And then whatever that means, the abundance, the participation. And then I'll give you a few moments, and then I will conclude in prayer. Okay, so I want you to just maybe sit back and close your eyes. I just need to start this thing again. Okay.
Love, it always gives itself away.
So just take time to pray for someone next to you, behind you, someone who's not present here, your family. God, it is wonderful to realize that, actually to admit before you that our capacity to grasp and understand and enjoy your loving kindness, our capacity is so small, so limited. But we thank you for this prayer that we have, that you would continue your loving kindness. Continue opening it up to us. Let us understand. Let us participate. Let us enjoy more of it. So that even like this song, that we will be bearers of that kind of love. Even in this world. Next to the people next to us in our closest relationships, but also further. So God, this morning I pray that you would continue your loving kindness, your goodness, your faithfulness, who you are to each one sitting here in front of me. God, that we would not only be stuck with the pictures, but with something of the experience of the inside and the essence of you. And you are loving kindness. And that will change us and make us different people in this world who also needs your loving kindness. But maybe the way they need it and the way they will see the pictures is through us. So help us even there. I pray that you will go with us into this week, that it will be a week of participating and enjoying your loving kindness, allowing you to wash us in your loving kindness, in abundance, in refuge, in drinking from you. A river of delights, a fountain of life and light. These are all pictures, but stir something of that in our hearts. And for that we need your Holy Spirit, but also your Holy Spirit to remind us that Christ came to make this tangible and real and close and human. We praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Glory be to God the Father, glory be to God the Son, glory be to God the Spirit, pray Jehovah three in one. Glory, glory. Glory. Glory be to Him who loved us, washed us from its spot and stain. Glory be to Him who brought us, made us kings with Him to reign. Glory, 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 God and Lord that wants us slain. Glory to the King of angels, glory to the church's King. Glory to the King of nations, heaven and earth your praises bring. Glory, 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 to the King of glory bring. Glory, blessings, praise eternal, thus the choir of angels sings. Honor, riches, power, dominion, thus His praise creation brings. Glory, 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 glory to the King of Kings.
Just receive the blessing of God, His loving kindness. He surrounds you with it. He fills you with it. He sends you with it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.